Quick-witted and loved by Melbourne? That's Fifi Fevan Byron. The only thing quicker and more loved? Ultra-fast NBN on supercharged speed with iPrimus. Plus 1 month free for a limited time. Visit iPrimus.com.au.
Fifi Fevan Byron.
101.9 The Fox.
Time for...
There's an old saying that says, fool me once, shame on... Shame on you. Fool me, we can't get fooled again.
Or fake.
Real or fake?
Real or fake time. Now, accents real or fake. We haven't done it this year so far. It's a fun game we love to play here where you call in 131060. Now, you either have an actual accent or you're really good at bunging on a fake one.
Yep.
And we try to pick, decipher whether or not your accent is real or fake. So this is really good. If you've got a genuine accent, there's nothing better than when we tell someone with a genuine accent that we think we're putting it on. We don't believe them. So, Feb, traditionally, you're quite good at picking a real accent.
Always. But yeah. I'm not allowed to ask any questions anymore.
Well, no, you're allowed to ask questions. You what happens is...
Because I always say, what sport? Like, if they say they're from Scotland, I go, oh, well, what's the local soccer team there?
And they
go,
nah, I don't know. But that's what we like to call kicking the fun out of a game.
It's called competitiveness.
That's like playing Uno and just looking at the other person's cards. You just cheat.
No.
No.
Hey, pretend I'm a phone caller. Ready?
Okay, here we go.
Hey, guys.
Oh, you're not American, Byron.
Game day today, Super Bowl. Can't wait.
Well, that's clearly a fake accent.
Correct.
You're very bad at it.
Correct. That was a fake accent.
There
correct.
We go. That didn't help. But I like the idea that 131060, call through with a real accent or a fake accent. And we will pick whether or not it's real
it
or fake.
Illustrated the way it worked. It was a fake accent.
It wasn't helpful.
131060 is the number.
Fifi, Fev and Byron, 101.9, The Fox.
There's an old saying that says, fool me once, shame on... Shame on you. If fool me, we can't get fooled again.
Or fake.
Your chance to fool us. And you can fool us either way. I love this. It's like a double-edged, double-sided coin. Mm. I guess all coins
that's
are double-sided.
Strange analogy.
What gets double-sided? Knife? Can you get a double-sided knife? Anyway, it's double-sided. You can 131060 call us with an actual authentic accent.
I've heard of a double-edged sword.
Yeah, that might be it.
That's
it's
the one.
But I don't think that necessarily applies to this segment. I think it's just a popular expression that has nothing to do with it.
You're right. Or you can call in with a fake accent and try to convince us that it's a real authentic accent.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit of fun. You can win either way. Now we've got Marianne from Dingley on the line. Hi, Marianne.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Marianne. Marianne, where is that accent from?
You have maybe to guess. somewhere from the Middle East.
Oh, I love this. You've added another element to this, Marianne. We have to guess where the accent's from.
Ah, okay.
Whole new ball game.
A Middle Eastern accent. I mean, you know, Marianne, I'm a bit confused. I want to believe you, but I don't know.
I think maybe, Marianne, we should go to the original rules of the game. You tell us where you claim to be from, exactly in the Middle East where you claim to be from, and then the guys can work out whether it's real or fake. Let's do it that way.
Okay, so you want me to tell you the country?
Yes,
yeah,
please.
I would like to.
Yeah, from Iraq.
Yeah, I believe it.
I do believe you, Marianne.
Okay.
Is that an actual authentic accent?
Yes.
Yay! You did it!
We did it!
She sort of gave it away when you were just asking normal questions and she answered in her accent. Because usually you catch them up.
I know, but she was trying to lose the accent because I thought it was in and out a bit. I thought she was putting it on at first.
Thank
and
you
then,
for
Marianne,
playing.
We won. Thank you for calling.
We won.
Thank you.
I'm never sure who wins this game, actually.
We win.
Everyone has fun.
Troy in Cheltenham. Hi, Troy.
Hey, guys. How you going?
No.
No, absolutely not. See you later. And then we'll move on to Anissa.
Anissa in Templestowe. Anissa, what part of the world would your accent be from?
Canada.
Yes.
Oh, hang on. I want a bit more. I'm not convinced. Anissa, so you live in Templestowe. What football team do you barrack for?
Sorry?
What football team do you barrack for?
That might give away my...
Oh, no, just in Melbourne. Which one of our teams?
What football team?
Okay, yeah, you're definitely Canadian. From Canada because you've got no idea.
You are Canadian, aren't you?
You are Canadian.
Yeah? Yep, you're Canadian?
Yes.
Yeah, good. Okay, there we go. Just was waiting on that. That sort of helps us.
She's from Toronto.
Good stuff. Thank you. How did you know that?
I can tell by the accent.
Okay.
Kenisa, are you from Tim? Are you from... Where did you say? say Vancouver.
You could tell a Toronto accent from a Montreal, can you,
yeah.
Brendan?
Montreal's more French.
What the hell? What's happening
no
here?
Vancouver, no French.
Vancouver. So there you go. No French.
Miles away.
I knew it was no French.
A long way from Toronto.
Yeah, but anyway, it's either that or Vancouver.
That's one of our most successful segments.
17 minutes past 7. Coming up after 8 o'clock, the beef between Fev, Danny Green and Anthony Mundine and the very latest.
Fifi, Fev and Byron, 1019 The Fox.
Phones in schools. Education Minister Simon Birmingham, he wants to ban smartphones from schools. Now, Fev, I have a four-year-old at kinder, so I'm yet to step into this world. I thought, and you've got obviously
yes.
three daughters, and Mia's now left school, but I thought phones were banned from classes. So the kids were taking, were able to have a phone to
yep.
take to school and then put in lockers not to have across the school day. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Like Lenny is in grade 6 now and she's had a phone for a while, but when she go well, at their primary school, that they go to school with their phones.
Yeah.
But they have to leave them at the front desk of the reception.
Mm-hmm.
And they put them there when they walk in the morning and then go throughout the whole school day. And then when they leave school, they all go to the reception and pick their phones up.
That's what I thought was happening.
Yeah.
Maybe this is not across the board because I'm surprised that this is that he's even suggesting banning.
I think old mate's got nothing better to do and just start talking about phones because at the end of the day, I think every school is like that.
I would have thought so.
Like Lulu has a phone and she's 8 but has no data or no internet. So she uses that at home with Wi-Fi but she doesn't need to take a phone to school. And we only give Lenny a phone at school just in case we can't pick her up or something happens and she can get the phone and call us. And
yeah. See, it's interesting because
it's just a point of contact. And a lot of parents catch buses to school, so they want their kids to be able to say, yes, I'm on the bus, Mum, Dad, I'm on the bus.
Oh, I can
just for reassurance.
I absolutely see the merit in that, and I imagine I will absolutely do that with Trixie because they are saying that Minister Birmingham wants smartphones banned from classrooms, saying they're a distraction. I think
yeah, they would be.
Obviously, they're a distraction.
Unless
if they got in.
Just quickly, 131060, if anybody can say this isn't happening or they do believe this law needs to come into play. But also, he's citing them as mobile phones, obviously, as a platform for bullying. That absolutely.
Well, that happens outside
and that's a
the
whole
school.
Different issue we're going to have, because that happens whether or not they have got the phones at school. But yeah, 10 to 12, 10 to 11, 67% of 10 to 13 year olds own mobile phones.
That's higher than you'd think.
It's so much higher. Well, see, even my nephew, Sonny, and he's 12. Yesterday, he gave me his mobile number. And I'm like, well, hello. I've got my nephew's mobile number. And the interesting thing is, he started year 7 last week. And this is the other area where you can tell you can sort of keep an eye on them because he did an Insta story during his lunch break at his new secondary school.
Lunch break?
Yeah, so we must have got access to his phone.
Yeah, high school would be a bit different, I reckon.
Okay.
Because
yeah.
you've got 18-year-olds and stuff there, so you can't be telling them not to take their phone
you
to school.
You can't be Googling things in class, though.
You wouldn't
you?
Have thought so. We're bad enough
in the class.
We're bad enough in meetings as grown-ups. We probably shouldn't have mobile phones in our meetings. We're distracted by our own mobile phones.
We should just ban mobile phones altogether.
I couldn't get through one of our meetings without my mobile.
I couldn't.
Sorry, Leon.
The number is 131060. Are phones making their way into the classroom, Fief? Obviously, plenty of calls are coming through.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Because they're calling for this ban, and we've got Hannah, who is a teacher, on the line. Are you there, Hannah?
Yes, I'm here. How are you going?
Good, Hannah. So you are a teacher. What's happening at your school in Altona Meadows?
Okay, so our school bans phones in the classroom if you're not using them for school purposes. But they can be super useful. They can do things computers can't with apps and stuff. It's great, like if you just need to look something up. Filming, if you're making videos, it's easy. You don't need to book a camera out, stuff like that.
Hannah, can I ask, and I've always wondered this, because let's be honest, there are some children that are in a position their parents are able to buy them a smartphone, then there'd be children that their parents can't necessarily afford to buy all their children smartphones. Is that coming into play, like the haves and the have-nots, which seems a bit unfair?
Definitely. I think there's kids who have better phones than I have in the classroom. Like, oh my goodness, you have the new iPhone X? Wow. And they sometimes kids smash it. They are not like careful with them.
Yeah.
All of that.
Because I've always thought that it's a bit unfair for kids that
well,
can't afford a phone.
Yeah, but that's a
I know
that's
life.
But then
I know.
Yeah, you can't have some kid
there are
not,
haves and haves not.
Yeah, you can't have some kid being misfortune because another kid can't afford a
phone. No, but if you had standardised equipment in the class so that everyone was leaving, whereas, I'm going to bring in my fancy iPhone X to do schoolwork. Oh, don't you have one? I agree with Thief.
Well, at Mia's school, they all had iPads. And I think the school provide. Oh, we might have to pay
that's what I mean,
fees,
I do.
Yeah. Everyone had an iPad. Right. They did their work on an iPad.
Oh, yeah, I think if you're bringing in your dad's old iPhone 4 and yet, you know, Steve down the other end of the road.
He's playing snakes on the Nokia.
Yeah, really Vanessa in Langwarren. Hi, Vanessa.
Hi, how you going?
Good, Vanessa. Now, Vanessa, you're a parent with two kids at school and what's happening at that school?
Well, they're two different schools. They've both allowed their phones in the classroom. I brought it up with one of the teachers at one of the schools and they said to me, oh, we prefer it because they can take a snapshot of the board of their homework and we know they're not going to lose it.
Oh, my God.
So, Vanessa, do you know from your kids, because you know your kids better than anyone, are they using them to play games and get distracted? And
absolutely.
Yes.
But aren't they then putting stupid bunny ears on their homework and stuff?
Yeah,
but, I mean, it seems ridiculous to use.
So, Vanessa, you'd like them banned in the classrooms?
Absolutely. Then I wouldn't get the billion texts a day about all of the rubbish that goes on between all of the kids.
Do you know, so it's a convenience for you.
See, it's funny because I think they should be banned in classrooms. I think that's a distraction. Hey, I didn't have I didn't have a camera to take a photo of the board when I was that age and I did okay.
Yeah.
But I do kind of like the idea of being able to text Trixie during the day.
Yeah, and it's an easy fix. It's an easy fix for the education department. They can have a phone, bring it in, put it to the teacher, get it back at the end of the day.
Well solved, Brendan.
Fifi, Fev and Byron, 101.9 The Fox.
Okay, I'm about to say something very soon that, and I'm going to work up to it, that I'm not necessarily proud of and I don't think is right, even politically correct in this day and age. But you may recall last week I was talking about over summer I binge watched the Netflix show Outlander. Great drama, set back in the 1700s.
What a bone to pick, mate. I lost my wife yesterday, all day.
Is all it day. Right into it?
I lost it all day.
Oh, no.
And my brother called me and he's lost his wife. Because she's obsessed with Old Mate as well.
Jamie Fraser.
Yeah, she's. It's what is it with this show?
Okay, basically, it's a woman who goes back in time and falls in love with a Scottish Highlander, like a warrior back in the 1700s.
Leaves her police husband. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
she's tracked back there.
Yeah, she's tracked back. Yeah.
Can I have some music a bit low? It's just distracting. It makes me really emotional.
Sorry,
anyway, so this lead character, Jamie Fraser, he's a warrior and he keeps saving Claire. His love, and I won't give away any more. But I on the weekend got a text from Casey, one of our much loved producers on the show, and Sunday morning
only loved.
Oh, Tim's okay. and Case, you sent me a message saying that I was maybe ruining you because you started watching Outlander.
Yeah, it was a big mistake.
Because what happened?
He's beautiful.
He's amazing. And Casey, do you agree with me? Because I'm going out on a limb here. And 131060, if there's
I don't see it. I watched a bit of it.
Oh, he's amazing. If any women are listening, I'm about to say something. And if you agree with it, please call in.
Be very careful.
Casey, do you agree that when you watch Outlander and you fall in love with Jamie Fraser, you really like the idea of a man saving you?
I'm ashamed, but yes, I agree.
See, it's 2018. I consider myself a career woman. I've never lent on a man.
No, ever.
I've never had a man behind me, you know, looking after me.
Byron tried.
But now I am prepared to say when I watch this show and I just
never
want...
tried. What's that about?
I really want a man to save me and look after
That's
me.
That's so old-fashioned.
I know it's old-fashioned, but it's something I've just found inside of me at the moment. And it's interesting because even when you think about Married at First Sight, and I've got a grab here of Tracy Blair and Davina. Now, here they are. There is a common little thread here happening.
I'm an old-fashioned girl when it comes to dating. I like to look after my man like he's the man. Totally happy to take a step back.
I would just love a normal tradie, like a normal Aussie bloke that will look after me.
I can be a little bit daydreamy and a little bit of an airhead, so I need someone that's really strong with direction.
Do you remember that time when Byron was in bed with you
what?
And he tried to put a pass on you?
No, it was a long time.
Nothing to do with the topic.
And you go, Byron, you're too gaunt. See, we don't want someone like Byron. We want someone big and strong.
Oh, I see what he's done
there. Oh, I'm not going to be that big protector.
No,
okay.
You're not. Oh, no.
Okay.
Now, it's interesting. I know it's politically incorrect, But girls, if there's any girls listening that do feel like that, and I don't know, maybe it's just when you watch a romantic drama like Outlander and you go, oh, look at Jamie, he's gone, he's saved her life again. There's part of you inside that goes, oh, I want him to sweep me up and sweep me off my feet.
If we get a lot of calls on this, then there is obviously... It's very interesting in terms of what's being discussed at the moment as far as where our society is at. If we get lots and lots of calls from girls going, yes, I want a man who can save me, now, then this is going to be
okay,
a stunning result.
Say,
I think we should go to a... You're getting way too excited over here. I've never seen you so up and about. You're dreaming about Jamie.
Yeah, I am. But also, but don't get me wrong, then there are times I definitely want to be the boss.
Yep. Anyway, we'll come back.
Fifi, Fev and Byron, 101.9 The Fox.
And as a woman in 2018 who has supported myself my whole life, I've always been told there's no ceiling. As a woman, you go for what you want, and I have, and I love that. I've never depended on a man in my life. That's why I've just revealed a little guilty secret. Now, it may be because I grew up with fairy tales and Pretty Woman and Richard Gere saving Julia Roberts and every other movie rom-com I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Well, there's something about when you watch one of these shows, and I'm obsessed with Outlander and the Scottish Highlander Jamie Fraser, I just want him to save me. And it occurred to me, there's something in me that when I see that and I go, oh, could he just sweep me up and throw me on the back of his horse and ride away into the Scottish Highlands. I mean, big shout out to my boyfriend, who I really care about, and obviously I'm very happy in my relationship. But
you love sport box. I mean, you love drama and TV shows. I love sport, and Tom Brady's in the house. He just walked into the stadium. I'd love for him just to come and sweep me up.
See,
you want that, Fev?
Oh, I reckon, Tom Brady. Or woman, we've all got that in us. And it's becoming a guilty thing because you almost, even when I said it before, I thought, oh, no, I'm going to have, you know, feminists up in arms don't say that. But it might be the truth. There could be something in. There might be girls out there who legitimately, yep, I want a man. I love the idea of a man saving me and looking out for me. We just played some grabs from Married at First Sight. It seems like a lot of those women are saying the same thing.
There are at least three examples within this season of women that want to be saved.
Yes. Now, we've got some girls on the line. We've got Andrea in Heathmont. Hi, Andrea.
Hi, Fifi. How are you this morning?
I'm very well. Now, Andrea, this is almost a no-no in this politically correct mad world we live in, but
definitely.
Do you like the idea? Is there something in you that wants a man to sweep you off
definitely.
Your feet?
Definitely. Who wouldn't want those beautiful, strong arms of Jamie Fraser to wrap around you?
Jamie Fraser has a lot to answer for at the moment, doesn't he? He's sending us all back into the Middle Ages.
But women, it's like, yeah, he'll take care of me. But then whilst that's happening, we've got MMA fighters out there. We've got women driving in NASCAR. But we still want to be cuddled and protected as girls. It's an interesting one, isn't it?
It is. Why are you laughing, Cliff? Why are you laughing?
What about if like little Danny DeVito come up and try to sweep you off your feet?
No, thanks. he's lovely. You know, Arnold Schwarzenegger would be better, but I'll take Danny. Jenna in Doveton. Hi, Jenna.
Hi, Fifi. I actually have a bit of a theory as to why a lot of women feel that way. I think it kind of goes back to what we learn when we're little kids, because most adults these days, you know, when we were growing up, we didn't have the sort of fairy tales or, you know, Disney movies like Moana and Frozen where the girls are really in charge. We have ones where...
Cinderella, Snow White, Prince Charming coming along. So you're right. Maybe I have been institutionalized from a young age and it's in like my DNA now. So when I watch Jamie Fraser and Outlander, it just taps into the little girl that was reading the fairy tales. Jenna,
I think it's just a deep-seated thing that a lot of women have, and a lot of men have that innate need to protect the woman as well, because when they grow up and watch, you know, the fairy tales and the cartoons, they also see that the prince saves the woman.
Yes, it's a good point. And you know what, though, Jenna, what I do love about 2018 is you can have both. Because honestly, I have very strong feminist ideals. I've always been a career woman who's never looked to a man to save me in real life. But it's okay to have little fantasies, isn't it?
As long as it just stays a fantasy, because, I mean, your boyfriend is listening and the whole Scottish Highlander thing is getting a bit weird.
It really is getting too intense. Lydia in Hampton Park. Hi, Lydia.
Hi, how are you, Fifi? I relate to you because I'm a career woman as well. I've never leaned on a man in that financial sense. However, I think men have lost their way because we don't want to be men.
No.
We just want to be the best. We want to be the best women that we can be, and a strong man, a man's man who's the best man he can be, should still be opening doors for women, giving up their seat, being the hero in our life. That's what we want.
And then a hero comes.
Could you,
exactly.
You just want to break it.
And I'm single because I'm still waiting.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Well, see, Lydia, that's the whole other side to this is waiting for a hero to come along.
I am not going to settle.
And then, Lydia, you find out that the hero was in you the
whole
time.
Oh, okay. That's enough.
Fifi, Fev and Byron, 101.9 The Fox.
Let's see if Janet joins Justin on stage at halftime for the halftime show.
Well, she denied that she's going to, but there's a lot of people denying things in this world.
Okay, time will tell in about 3.5 hours we'll know that. And yes, there are a lot of people denying.
My radio co-host is amazing. He's just done what we call a segue. Because speaking about denying things, we all know the 4 months over summer leading up, actually 3 months for a season really, the 3 months over summer leading up to I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, we all heard that two people were going in who were having the biggest feud in Australia. Now, when we found out that it was Anthony Mundine and Danny Green, two world champion boxers, Fev, you revealed on our show last week that you know them both and they're mates. You've seen them in a hotel room. Yeah, well, you've seen them, though, hugging, meeting each other's wives and hanging out. And you made that allegation. And then
it's not an allegation. It happened. I was in the room.
Yeah, and I believe you.
I packed myself.
Absolutely. I totally believe you. So anyway, you said that, and then what we didn't realise was Danny wasn't actually in the jungle yet. So he's in his hotel room in South Africa, and he went to the press, and he said that he thought you were delirious, I think were his words.
Something like that.
What's Brendan on? Something like that. Anyway, so he's denied it. But what's brilliant about this is, let's be honest, since Fev broke that news, number one story on news.com.au for 24 hours, I bet everyone was watching last night when Danny went in the jungle and seeing, are they acting? What's going on? Now, let's listen. We're about to play the audio. This was Anthony Mundine and Danny Green in the jungle when Danny first went in last night. Let's all put our ears over this. Is there a bit of pantomime or is it a legit feud?
Tomorrow will be 1 year when I was victorious February 3rd Adelaide Oval in our last fight.
I didn't win, but I gave
it. The judges just made me win. They're pretty sure the referee held my hand up.
Fight the third fight. Fight the third fight and I'll whip your ass and then we'll say that. Till he's done.
Walk up the hill and do it, Chalk, no problem.
I'm not doing it for free. I want to get paid for this. You know?
Do it if you're a real fighter, we'll walk up the hill and do it for free.
We don't need to do it for free.
You don't need money, mate. Let's just fight.
Mate, let's do it.
You're a pussycat.
You're a pussycat. You're a pussycat.
No, I'm not a pussycat.
You're running. You're scared. You're running scared.
Let's walk up the hill.
Let's make it happen. Why don't you make it happen?
Do I smell ham, guys?
Oscar worthy.
What's going on? Okay, 13-10-60. I want to put this out there. Do you back Fev? Are you thinking it's a bit of an act? Is there a bit of pantomime going on there? Or did you watch last night and go, nah, that is a legit feud. They don't like each other.
Well, this is a poll. 13-10-60.
The best was when Danny said to Fiona Lockhorn, I've never been in a room with him one-on-one by myself. And then Chock's sitting on the bed going, it's okay, bro. I said, I'm fine with him. He's fine with me. I'm gravy.
Is Chock gravy with you?
Yeah.
Great. There we go. Well, that's good news. What about quickly?
Because what's happened is, and I feel I have to defend the honour of my friend here. This has become a who's lying scenario. So, and everybody was watching, I imagine, thinking, is Fev right? Mm. Are they mates and putting this on?
All right.
Or is it, in fact, a real life feud? What were you going
to
say,
Well, we'll come back to the calls, but Danny Green actually left an actual public message, if you want to hear it. I mean, this is Danny Green's actual message. This is his response.
Fifi, Fev and Byron. Hey, Fev, I hope you had some sleep because you seem to be a bit delirious lately, but, hey, get in the bar and keep me in.
He wants us to vote for him.
He's called you delirious.
We'll come back to your calls after this.
Fifi, Fev and Byron, 101.9 The Fox.
I'm a celebrity. Get me out of here!
Huge public stoush. It is Fev versus Danny Green at the moment, Fev.
That's right. The big feud between Anthony Mundine and Danny Green.
Oh, huge.
Last week, Fev revealed that he knows that they're mates and he thinks it's a bit of a beat up. Now, we all watched last night and I'd be so interested to know what everyone else thought when Danny entered the jungle. Do you think that it's fake, it's not really a feud, or do they really not like each other? Now, let's take a quick poll. Luke in Oakley, what do you think?
It's got to be fake.
Yeah, it did seem a bit hammy to me too. Luke in Clayton. Hi, Luke.
Luke, go for it. Real or fake?
I think Luke is fake.
I think Luke's not even a real person.
Sheree and Nary Warren. Hey, Sheree.
Hi, it's definitely fake, but I want to know why Hughie's jumping on the other team. Is that because Channel 10 have asked him to?
Whoa! There we go!
We'll ask Hughie when he comes in later. Thomas in Mount Eliza. Hey, Thomas.
Hello.
Hey, Thomas, how old are you?
I'm 12.
Well, what do you think? Do you think Danny and Shock are friends?
Yeah, I reckon they are.
Oh, you think they are? Be. You think they're really friends?
Yep, I reckon.
There we go. So another vote for fake.
Yeah. They've just got that competitive hate in the ring, which you would. Well, as I said, if I had Byron in the ring, I don't want to hate him too.
At the moment, it's all fake. Beck in Mernda, fake or real fight?
I definitely think it's fake, but Feb, if you were their mate, probably wouldn't have said that it was fake on air.
Oh, well, she didn't say it was fake. See, this is where the Herald Sun and stuff twist your words.
Right.
All I said was, I was in a room with Chock getting tickets and sitting down on the couch. There was a knock on the door. Danny Green and his wife walked in, signed a book. They hugged each other and said, "G'day, bros. Hey, bro. Hey, Chock." Bang. And I was like, "What is going on here?"
That's all he said.
That's all I said.
That is all you said. Now, Danny in Mornington, do you think it's a real feud or they're putting it on?
Yep, I'm 100% back in Fev on this. It's fake.
There we go. The jury
tune
has spoken.
Tune in at 7:30 tonight because it's on again.
Fifi, Fev and Byron, 101.9 The Fox.
Now, Boxy, I saw on your Instagram yesterday you had your dad's birthday.
Yeah, big happy birthday to my beautiful dad.
And there was a picture.
Alan Box.
Yeah, Alan.
What a
great
man.
My middle name, Alan. Al.
What an
happy
amazing.
Birthday, Al.
Such
Box.
A good dad.
If you're out there. But
Al
for
Box.
Someone that's
Boxy.
On a someone that's on a diet, Boxy.
Yeah.
I saw a picture of Trixie and your dad.
Yeah.
And a cake.
I know. And
that looked amazing.
Didn't it?
Oh, my God.
Do you know what's funny, Feb? Like, I've got, you know how I love to bake occasionally.
It's like picture porn for me.
Yeah. See, this is the thing. And I always leave it to the last minute, though, because it was Saturday afternoon and I knew we had Dad's lunch on Sunday. And I just went, I'm big on, you know, and particularly my dad doesn't want anything. And whenever I say, "Dad, what do you want?" So I did the classic, bought him socks and pajamas. That's just what daughters do,
sure.
Isn't it? I've forgotten what they were. Just went into Maya, grabbed some jammies. I want to do something with love. So I said to Trixie on Saturday afternoon, I said, "Trix, let's make Opar a cake." And she said, "Yes." And Trixie's right into, let's all be honest, she's not doing anything at four.
She's just licking the bowl.
She's licking the bowl and she's helping me stir in flour. Yeah. But I got my phone and I flicked through some birthday cake recipes and I was doing the pictures and she's just pointed at one. She said, "We have to make Opar that." And I went, "Oh, sweetheart, I don't know that he wants a duck pond with ducks in it." And then I said, "What about this flower? What about this just lovely birthday cake with, candles and decorations?" "No, I want my dad, she said, "Opar will want ducks on a pond."
Right.
So, oh my goodness. And it was like, you know, those birthday cakes I had when I was growing up, you know, that your mum would make from that.
I used to have the train one.
Yes.
Or I'd have the swimming pool with all those chocolate sticks and then the jelly in the middle.
At about 2 a.m. on Sunday morning, I was carving out ducks from cake, the cakes that I'd baked. I had to bake three different cakes. I had to carve out from one of the cakes ducks. Then I had to make yellow coconut dust, whatever that is. Anyway, I did it all because I went, "I love my dad and I'm going to make him this cake."
But was Trixie happy?
Trixie loved it. And one of the cutest things about it was I said, "But sweetheart, I just don't know whether this is a masculine cake for Opa. I don't think he'd want this." And she said, "Yeah, but I might want it for my birthday.
Oh.
So can we try it? And if I like it, I'll have it for mine." So we took it to lunch, got a photo with it. Nobody wanted any because it was like, you know, one of those masterpieces that you don't want to cut. And so I've got it at home. When we got home, I actually said to Trix, I said, "Trix, I think it was for Opa." And somehow we've ended up with a cake on our kitchen bench.
Well, did you? You've done the happy birthday.
Yeah.
Your dad's going to get the knife and you said,
Fifi, Fev and Byron, 101.9 The Fox.
I may have gotten fired up over the last few weeks, like I think a lot of other Melburnians, about Festival Hall closing down and the venue being turned into apartment blocks because that's in a proposal that went to City Council. So I got on the front foot and I decided, no, Melbourne, let's save Festival Hall.
Yeah.
It's iconic. The Beatles played there. Everyone grew up going to concerts at Festival Hall. It's an iconic Melbourne venue. I even got Molly Meldrum involved, and Molly agreed to join the campaign. Molly, do you want to join us in our campaign to save Festival Hall?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
He signed on.
There were so many amazing acts. You know, obviously, the Beatles won, Joe Cocker. Oh. I mean, all these acts that went to Festival Hall, yeah.
I continued to go pulling the real big guns. Then I went to Kylie Minogue and said, Kylie, will you perform there at the big concert I'm putting on? Would you consider appearing at my fictional concert that I've yet to get off the ground?
I would definitely, maybe, most likely consider thinking about appearing or being there live via satellite or on the World Wide Web to your non-existent benefit concert.
Yes!
Yes, we'll take that as a yes! Yes!
You are going to save Festival Hall!
Great words from Kylie Minogue. She said, Fee, you are going to save Festival Hall. Now, little announcement for everyone who's been behind me. And I was behind the scenes trying to get acts together, like Kylie put on a massive Festival Hall's final curtain call. What happened on Friday? Leon Shergren, our executive producer, Adrian Bryan, our program director, content director, had a meeting with Festival Hall.
Well, why weren't you in it for a start?
I don't know. I was trying to.
Because she was at the Palais.
Because I went to the Palais accidentally.
You don't know where it is.
I don't even know where it is. It's not the one in St Kilda. That's the Palais. Festival Hall, in no uncertain terms, would like me to stop trying to save them. in fact, they'd like me to stop mentioning them.
Right.
So I'm basically banned from talking about Festival Hall. It would seem, Melbourne, that Festival Hall are quite happy to be sold.
Okay.
And I'm again trying to save some. You know what? My problem is I go in to fight for the underdog.
Stop it.
Apparently the underdog aren't always interested in being saved.
We've got a history on this show, Fev, of Fief constantly trying to save things that don't want saving.
Yeah, there's a few things, Byron. Dracula's last year. Wanted to save that. Now they're putting stuff up for sale.
They're currently doing a garage sale, getting rid of everything, having bulldozed it.
They didn't want to be saved. I wanted to save them.
Chatty Bowls Club.
Well, they did want to get saved.
And you didn't save them.
I forgot to save them. No, we all said, excuse me, we all went, yes, we'll help you.
Well, they were the bowlers that did they did the Beyonce dance. It went viral globally. We then promised them, why don't we do another video because you've had a bit of a bad run of luck.
We'll help you.
We never made the video. Yeah. They're gone.
Because we have a bit on bar and we forgot. But I wasn't real keen on saving Festival Hall. No. I like the development structure of what's happening. I've seen the floor plan. And the whole way through, I've been saying, let's just buy apartments. I even asked Kylie, and Kylie was pretty keen on the apartments as well. Now, Boxy, Festival Hall can't be saved, doesn't want to be saved. Will you now invest in a beautiful apartment in inner city?
Well, the fact that they have in no uncertain terms told me to stop trying to save them. I mean, they've basically gagged me. I'm not allowed to talk
about
them anymore.
It's a great floor plan.
Do you want to go in together?
Yeah, it's a great floor plan.
Fifi, Fev and Byron, 101.9 The Fox.
Hallam High had their 20-year reunion. The class of 98 got together on Saturday night. And Fev, you mentioned it last week that you had your 20-year school reunion coming up. And I went, you're never going to go to that. that's not happening. And I love, that it was at the Pakenham Bowls Club. Byron lives around the corner. I love that in your absence, Byron was like, got nothing to do on a Saturday night.
No,
it's
I didn't.
Around the corner
and I paid
from where
for my
I live.
Ticket, so he went and used it.
I
I'll tell
know,
you what.
And he had a plus one.
It was one of the best nights I've ever had.
Yeah, here we are. Packy Bowling Club, Hallam High reunion. Yeah!
No sign of Fev yet.
No sign, mate, no sign.
I figured seeing he's not here, we might get a few stories about Brendan.
I remember Fev flunked his way through Mass the whole time telling everyone that, oh, well, I'm playing at the MCG this week, darling, so can I get a pass on me Mass grade?
Giving him $20 to help me with my history homework.
Why would you choose him?
Because he was actually quite smart. And,
you're kidding.
No, he was. And I gave him $20 and I passed. It was a no-brainer.
He had a big chin. Oh. He had a big chin.
Massive chin.
You've known Fev since he was how old?
Five.
I remember him at our fifth birthday party. He walked in and going, don't touch the hair, don't touch the hair.
He was a quintessential ladies' man even back in grade three.
I egged him in high school, he'll remember that, on his head, and the principal caught me.
I do remember jumping out one of the classroom windows.
in Indonesian with Brendan.
How was Fev's Indonesian? Was he quite fluent?
Oh, he was very, very fluent in Indonesian. Very fluent, yeah.
I noticed that the guest list was Brendan Favola plus one, so you can actually have two shares of food.
Hell yes! This is the best night of my life!
Bloody tight ass, you.
Slamadatta.
You know, the problem was, it's Hallam High, it's Fev. So many stories.
I'd love to hear the uncut ones.
Mate, I couldn't put any of them to air. It was unbelievable, some of the stories, but we would have broken every possible code of conduct to put them on air. But if you ever see me round Packy, ask me and I'll tell you the stories face to face.
Do you know how good the I'm playing at the G this week to the teachers? Do you want some tickets? Got a pass. It's the best.
I just imagine you, 17, in high school, just saying to teachers, hey, I'm at the MCG this weekend. What do you want?
Yeah. Mate, work every time.
You did brilliantly. But of course, on the flip side, helped Turles with her history homework. What
yes.
What an outstanding citizen you were.
Made $20.
Well done.
Did that often.
By good. The way, every call.
She said you are very smart, and you are, Brendan. You are very smart.
Is that it?
He's waiting for the kick-up.
I think you hide it well just to get out of work sometimes. They always but say, I know you're smart.
The old saying, dumb is smart, smart is dumb. Mm. So there you have it.
Well, lost me there.
Lydia of Hampton Park, congratulations. She's in the running for the $10,000. She called earlier, joined in on our little phone conversation about the dude from Outlander.
Jamie Fraser.
That FIFA's obsessed with. Sparks will fly as teams go head-to-head on My Kitchen Rules tonight, 7:30 on 7. She's in the running to bite into a $10,000 Jaffle as part of our $10,000 MKR Jaffle raffle. So well done. You're joining in on the show. You're in the running.
Yes, good luck to Tom Brady and the Patriots today in Indianapolis. Who's going to win?
The Patriots will beat the Eagles.
There you go. She does not
She's a psychic.
Often miss.
There's no doubt about it. You're like Jackie Gillies. You're a psychic.
Who do the Eagles play for? What part of the country?
Philadelphia.
Not
West Philadelphia. Bon and
bread. Cream cheese at the end of today.
Well, there we go. The old Philly cheese stuff.
We hope you love that beefy Fev and Byron catch-up. You'll also love ultra-fast NBN with iPrimus on supercharged speed for 24 months. Or you can leave within 30 days with no termination fees. Visit iPrimus.com.au.
Beefy Fev and Byron. 101.9.